Hey everyone, welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci
and Scott Jans.
This is episode 73, False Evidence Appearing Real.
Hey everyone, wanted to let everybody know we are now on Patreon. If you'd love to support the Trust the Trail podcast, please check out our patreon.com/trusttheTrail. We would love for you to be part of our outdoor backpacking community. Plus, you can receive our podcast early before it hits the world. Another way to support us is by listening to Trust the Trail on the Radio Public app. It's for both iOS and Android, so download it today. And Trust the Trail, add Trust the Trail podcast to your library.
On this episode, we discuss fear and how it can prevent you from some pretty unbelievable and magical experiences in your outdoor adventure. Inspired by one of our own Patreons and members of our Trust the Trail Facebook group, Shirley Nutt, who overcame a fear of heights by scaling Half Dome in Yosemite National Park this last week. We offer 6 tips to help you overcome your own fears on the trail, 1 step at a time.
So when Shirley posted her photographs on our Facebook page, and she was like, hey, you know, I'm fearful of heights, and she scaled Half Dome, I'm like, I was so happy for her, only because Shirley doesn't know this. I'm gonna kind of, you know, put myself out there. But I too am fearful of heights.
He is, you guys. He's pretty fearful.
I get vertigo, yeah. And I've had it my whole life, and it never prevented me from climbing trees and getting up on our roof at our house when I was a young kid. But I still have this vertigo. And so when I saw her post that, I was just I was just really overwhelmed, and I thought, good for her, man, you'll face your fear. And I was really, really super, proud of that. And it inspired us to do this podcast, 'cause it's a pretty important topic when, you know, you're going to go out in the wilderness.
Well, yeah, I mean, just a simple post of somebody expressing their extreme thrill in themselves and extreme, you know, achievement, which is different for everybody. And it was just so empowering to see that come through on a, you know, for me, what was a mundane work day. And all of a sudden there was this like motivational post that reminded me why, you know, we do what we do, and we spread the word, and we spread the love in the community. And it just, it was so inspiring that it drove us to think of a podcast topic.
And it also is like, you know, I know a lot of people say this, and sometimes I don't really believe when people say this, but you know, when they say you inspire us, you know, sometimes but when that's really true, you know, surely, I mean, in this point, it's really true. I mean, that was very inspirational. And Ariane and I talked about it for a long time after seeing those photographs. And we're like, yeah, good for her.
So obviously this podcast is about fear and facing it. Everyone knows that acronym, you know, it's pretty generic. False evidence appearing real. Well, you know, fear is false. It's a lie. Not the acronym itself, but the word fear. It really is this conceptual idea of what we believe, and it's not in reality. It's not truth.
Yeah, and it's an emotional response based on false facts.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, like when you know, anger and sadness and excitement, you know, emotional responses to things that you see. But fear is one of those emotional responses you have when, you know, like when someone comes out of the closet and scares you, you know, yeah, you jump. But that's, it's a splitting second. You know, you turn around and say, oh, stop it. Or you slap them, don't ever do that again. But for some people, fear keeps them from going outdoors. fear keeps them from doing the things that they want to do so badly, but yet there's something about that emotional response to say, you know what, I want to do that so bad, but I would never do that. I would never, ever do that. And that's really what we want to talk about, is that that's the lie. You know, the emotional response that you have for fear is, you know, really, you know, what's going to happen to you by facing that fear, regardless of just living your normal day life?
Well, it's interesting. I believe that fear is really a lack of control in your environment. It's not having, for me, most of my fears are stemmed out of the inability to control my situation or the environment. Like, I have developed this just random fear of driving in our car. Well, more being a passenger in our car. And I don't know driving it too. It's come out of nowhere. It's a rather newer development over this past like year and a half. And I can identify kind of when it began and how it began, but it's because I'm kind of a control freak. Let's face it. I like to be in control, but at the same time, I am completely relaxed and I just let life happen around me. But when that control is removed from me against my desire or my will, or somebody has more control over that aspect than I do, particularly outside of the outside world, we're talking about everyday life, I tend to fear certain oddities, like letting Scott drive the car, you know, 80 miles per hour in a rainstorm.
Well, and the funny thing is that, you know, I'll drive and, you know, all of a sudden she'll just like have some kind of a, I don't know, it's like some kind of a convulsion attack in the passenger seat. And she will literally stamp her feet into the dashboard. I'm like, you know, there's no brake on that side, right? She goes, did you see that light? Yeah, I'm looking forward. I did see the light. I did see the brake lights. I did see the car in front of me. I do see those, you know.
But it's no different than when we go outside and when we're teaching people how to backpack for the first time or offering our assistance in these things. You know, this is why we see pack weight so heavy repetitively, time after time after time for new beginners, is because they're not in control. They have this fear of the unknown, of the what if, what were to happen. I should prepare for everything.
And those are all genuine concerns. You know, we're not discounting fear, but it's all genuine. What we're saying is that you can have a genuine fear, but don't let it stop you from pushing forward or moving ahead in your life. And so, you know, like, you know, my fear of heights is real. I don't discount it. I share it. I don't try to hide it. I don't try to suppress it. It sometimes it's more prevalent than other times. You know, Ariane and I have been on many, many different adventures where there has come to the moment where there's a cliff
and Ariane, Scott turns into a very, very different person while I run to the edge.
Ariane will just walk right to the cliff and I will start profusely sweating. You know, like I get angry,
you know,
and I get upset because it's like, to me, it's like common sense tells me don't walk to the cliff. Your odds of perishing have just increased it so much more for no reason whatsoever. And Ariana's like, but I want to see the view. And I'm like, oh man, that's such a good reason, you know. And I could stay back and I could say, enjoy the view. I'm going backwards. But there's something that I've learned over the years that has taught me to face my fear. And so more times than not,
he'll belly crawl to the edge first.
I compromise.
Yeah, you have, and you have come leaps and bounds from when I first.
Okay, don't say leaps and bounds when I'm visually standing on the cliff. But
not a good choice of words.
Yeah, it's like a stomach crawl. You know, and the funny thing is that, you know, when I climbed Long's Peak, I was only like over 14,000 feet. And if you knew how you start getting down from Long's Peak, you'd be like, oh, hell no, you didn't do that. And I did crawl on I did the crab crawl getting down from that mountain because I scooted down on my butt.
I guess there's a reason why they make you practice that in grade school.
Yeah. And you know, like when I think of the things that I've done up really super high facing my fear of heights, it's like I can't believe I've never publicly just, you know, thrown up. You know, because I've done some really sketchy stuff when I've been so afraid, but I'm never going to let my fear of heights, and it is a true fear, I'm never going to let it win against me pushing myself to do something that I enjoy.
Yeah, when we first started, I remember Scott would become so different than anything I had recognized him to be. I remember once I was standing on a ledge and we got into an argument in our early stages of our relationship, and I couldn't understand why were we arguing. And, you know, it was more based on this emotional drive that he was fearful of me being as close to the edge as I was. And I couldn't understand it at that point because I don't have a fear of standing on the tiptoe of a ledge and looking down into the abyss. I don't have that fear. But it's unique because when I first started climbing, I had a fear of falling off of the wall. So I don't mind falling off the ledge, but I had an issue with being on the wall and then falling off the wall and flying, a good 30 feet and then crashing back into the wall again. And I had somebody, you know, teach me how to overcome that. And, my entire relationship with Scott, I've seen him get closer and closer and closer to that edge. And I've seen him face it and be calmer. And his demeanor has changed and become just more soothed, I guess. And just, he's no longer sweating profusely. And he's adapting to the environment in which he initially feared so much.
Yeah, I remember the very first time I think I publicly wept. I was at, I did Six Flags Great America, and I did the bungee jump. And they pull you like 1,000 feet up.
Yeah.
And I was with a partner. And I'm like, look, don't give me the ripcord. I won't pull it. You know, don't make me pull it. And so they gave my partner the ripcord, and we got all the way up there. And I was, we had to lock arms, and I was holding on so tight they couldn't reach the ripcord to pull it. I'd pull them like, and we were like in this sling. And I mean, when we were going up and they were pulling us up. And at one point I thought, oh my God, they can't pull us up any higher. This thing has gone wrong. It's all gone wrong, And I remember like, I think I may start crying, And finally they pull the ripcord and, looking at concrete getting really close to you in a few seconds is a little fearful. But then, we swung a couple of times and I was fine. But it's the thing is like, I think it's just that, what am I afraid of? What truly makes me fearful? And the simple truth is I'm not in control. And that's the very simplest honest truth is that I'm not in control. It's that what if. And I see that, we see that time and time and time and time again for new backpackers who pack everything in their pack. And we ask them, well, why is your pack? Why do you have 65 pounds? You're going out for a night. Why do you have 65 pounds worth of food? Well, what if? What if? What if? Well, you know, there comes a time when you just can't plan for the what if. If I packed to go to work in my car like some people pack on their first backpacking trip, I'd be planning for a 2-week vacation in my car. You know, I mean, well, what if? What if? You know, what if? You know, and I don't have that much time to pack the car for a 2-week vacation. And I think that's what we want to really, you know, really talk about is that fear is real, but it's also not real. It's a real emotion. So fear is a real emotion. Anger is kind of like a secondary emotion that is a result of fear. And so sometimes, like, when people get really afraid, like, they don't know how to do something. Like, they do not know how to do something. They get kind of angry. You know, like, well, I just don't, what do you mean? I don't know. And then you can see them getting angry. Well, it's not because, it's because it's that underlying fear of not being good enough, not knowing what to do, having to ask for help, having to humble yourself and say, I don't know. It's that whole fear, you know, that whole fear of like, you're lost. You can't find the Grand Canyon. Maybe you should ask for help. And someone said, maybe you should ask for your directions. No, you know, but it's really that fear of you don't know, yeah. You know, you just don't know. And so you become a little angry, you become a little upset or whatever that case is. Or what happens is you don't do it. You quit. It's easier to quit than face your fear. And that's the real gist of going out and spending time in the wilderness is that, yeah, it's the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to rain. You just don't know. And so people say, well, like I can't control it, so I'm not going to do it.
It's true. So we have 6 steps, you know, or tips to offer you in not only facing that fear, but working through that fear and getting to the other end of it. So first one up, acknowledging your fear. So basic.
So basic.
But so sometimes important. It's really challenging to even acknowledge that that's kind of what's going on. Oh, it's a fear. And it's strange to think that you may not be able to identify your fear. You can't admit it. You can't admit it. And that's the first step.
So, yeah. So one of the things that, you know, when we take people out on backpacking boot camp class, we talk about, okay, what are you afraid of? What's your fear? And 9 out of 10 times it's wildlife. You know, like, well, what if I see wildlife? You know,
I don't know what to do.
What do I do? How do I do this? How do I do that? And we realize that that fear isn't really fear. It's the lack of experience or knowledge or that self-confidence that that person has that is breeding fear. And so that's what we concentrate on. And we see that time and time again. And it's crazy enough that, you know, when you are starting like a job for the first time, for example, you know, you walk into that office and you are a little afraid. You're afraid to say, hey, man, where's the copy machine? You know, and you're afraid to ask because, you know, you're fearful. Well, everybody understands it's your first day of the job. And they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, the copy machine is around the corner. Oh, thank you so much. Well, you'll never ask that question again because you've learned it.
Unless you're directionally challenged.
Right. Or unless they lie to you about where the copy machine is. You know.
There are a multitude of things that can go wrong.
Oh, this office is going to be crazy. But, you know, it's like you've learned that and you know it. And that's why when we take our, that's why when we do our boot camping class, we concentrate on getting to know your gear. It's so important to really get to know your gear so well that you're not afraid of it. You're not afraid of lighting your stove. You're not afraid of you know, eating in the rain or whatever happens, you become familiar with it. And so you have that, you know, fear just kind of goes out the window because it's not real. It's just, it's not real that it's fear. It's that you're new to it. You got to give yourself a break.
So acknowledge it. And then your next step is obviously identifying what the root of that fear is, because there's always an umbrella thought. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of driving in the vehicle that is going to fall apart on me on the highway at a high speed. But what is the root? Like, what do you really fear? Is it really that you're scared of heights? Or is it that you're fearful of falling over the edge? You know, is it?
Yes.
is it really that I'm scared of driving or being in the passenger seat of this car? Or is it that I'm nervous that the thing is going to fall and I'm going to be sitting on the highway right, waiting for a car to run me over? What is the root? You know, why do I fear falling 30 feet off of a wall? Like, what is it that, what is the root? What is the underlining cause of the fear?
And be honest. I mean,
and that's really hard to look inward and think, okay, well, what's really the worst that can happen? Is that my fear? Is this, you know, what is it that I truly fear about this one particular thing that I fear?
Right. And this is the point where you got to be honest with yourself and be honest with others that you're hiking with, because everybody has a fear. I can tell you that every single person on this earth has a fear of something. And so it's your chance to say, you know what, guys, hey, I'm kind of afraid of heights. You know,
I'm afraid of sleeping alone in the woods.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a huge one. I'm afraid of bear. I'm afraid of this. And so once you acknowledge that and you say that out loud, you know, I guarantee you someone else is in your crowd is going to say, you know what, I kind of have that same fear. Why don't we partner up or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. So then the biggest thing is creating an idea of a stress relief to help you meditate on or to concentrate not being afraid in that moment. Because if it, and again, yet another challenge, we are talking about fear after all. and that's hard, because what is it that calms you down in that moment?
Meditation is the best stress reliever, because you know what, when you are fearful of something, you are causing your body to be stressed. And now you've just kind of added another issue. You're fearful, and now you're being afraid is causing you stress. And so that's the time where you just take a deep breath, close your eyes, and you just put some positive thoughts, you meditate, you know, and you get rid of that stress. Maybe it's just like, hey, guys, you know, before I'm going to do this, I need to go hike a little bit, or I need to go take a walk, or whatever you need to do to just get rid of that stress and put yourself in a very positive place, because negativity breeds negativity.
It's true. I mean, if you think I'm falling off this edge, or I'm falling off the wall, or I'm going to drown in this river, if you think about those,
you're going to panic at the worst time that you don't need to panic.
If you think you're falling off the edge, well, you've already fallen off the edge in your mind. And it's hard to reverse from that in your mind. So if you put out there, I won't fall off the edge, I will get a little closer than I'm accustomed to getting, then you're probably going to take that next step and get a little closer than you've ever gotten before.
You may belly crawl like I do to the edge, but damn it, you're going to see that view. You know, one way or the other, do not let that defeat you. And the thing is that that's okay. I mean, that is so okay to do. You know, if you're the only person belly crawling to the edge, great. You got to see the same view everybody else did. No one's taking anything away from you. I mean, Would I do it if there was 100 people and 99 of them walked to the edge and looked down and there's Scott belly crawling to the edge? You bet you I'm going to belly crawl. I don't care what other people think. And it's not a stressor for me because I'm okay with that. That's who I am, you know, and that's who I am. And I'm going to belly crawl to the edge.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that he really does belly crawl to the edge. It takes everything.
But I haven't fallen off yet.
It takes everything to get him to stand up near it. But I remember I was in Ireland doing a tour, and everybody I was with was panicking that I was close to the edge. And so they begged me to drop to my knees and like just look over the edge, like on my belly. And so I appeased them. But then, of course, I got further and further and my whole chest is out there. And so then they just gave up on the idea altogether. But I remember that feeling of like belly crawling up to the edge and looking over. And it's just like it really does. It's so empowering to do something that you fear, but in a comfortable way. So the next thing is, speaking of belly crawling, is create manageable goals for yourself to begin the process of facing those fears.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
Rome, to your knees.
Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to face all your fears in a day. So set small little goals for yourself so you can reach that ultimate goal. So for people that are afraid to go out into the wilderness, and specifically when they're afraid to go camp alone in the wilderness, what we do is there's a couple exercises that we tell people is that go out close to your car, like maybe go to a state park. Go do the trail for, let's just say it's a 10 mile loop, for example. Okay. Well, day hike that loop. That's one goal. Okay. I day hike the loop. Okay. Now maybe 5 miles in, they have a backcountry campsite. I go get a permit. You know, maybe it's a state, your local state park. And so, you know, you're close to your car, you're in a state park, you know, and so you set small goals for yourself. And we see that a lot with people that want a long distance hike the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail, that they're like, hey man, I've never spent a day out ever alone in the wilderness. And I'm going to go spend my first night out in the wilderness. Well, you know, yeah, it's a very stressful, fearful thing, but we can tell you that we have seen people that have never ever put a backpack on in their life as a female and took those baby steps and set goals, and she hiked the Pacific Crest Trail. So we've seen it, it's possible, but set little goals for yourself. Don't try to accomplish everything all at one time if you have some fear of going out there and spending the night in the wilderness.
Exactly. You know, I think when you start to avoid something that you're scared of, or that you're slightly even fearful of, or even immensely fearful, you begin associating you avoiding it with this, it's like a failure for you. You know, if you don't do it, you're failing doing it.
And so you quit.
Well, the more frequently you end up avoiding it, the higher your anxiety builds regarding it. So you end up losing any confidence whatsoever in the fact that you could do it because you're not practicing doing it. Does that make any sense? So you pretty much, you slowly strip away the ability to face doing it the more you avoid it. And
yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I completely agree. You know, the more you do it, the more you're going to have confidence in yourself, the more you realize nothing's going to go wrong. And it's about consistency, and just going out there and facing your fear. There's no shortcut to it. other than just setting small goals for yourself and getting out there and doing it?
I mean, pretty much it's like most fears begin with this like small hesitation about doing it. And then you yourself end up building it into this fear because you avoid it or you don't want to.
Oh,
do
yeah.
It.
I mean, your mind can, you know, like if you have a small fear of something, and that's a lot of reasons why people don't go out there because like, you know, it's like, you know, like, you know, I would love to go backpacking this weekend. Yeah, that would be great. You know, like, yeah, I would love to go. And then they sit there and they think about it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
it's going to rain. Or what if, man, there's that bear I just saw on the news, that guy that got killed by a bear. You know, and then I'm like, what if there's a big bear? What if it's a den of bears? What if it's a like a gang of bears? You know, I mean, the next thing you know, the guy is visioning himself on the news being mauled by, you know, 23 bears. And, you know, it just, and he doesn't go. That person will not go. And what we're saying is like, maybe just go to a state park first and get your feet wet.
Well, you know, I had mentioned earlier in this podcast that I had had my climbing partner when I was in climbing. He introduced me to what he called free fall Thursdays. And I dreaded Thursdays. We would go to the gym like 3 or 4 times a week, depending on how frequent we can go. But we never failed to go on a Thursdays. And I hated going because he knew, as my climbing partner, I was never going to become or be able to push myself past this boundary if I constantly feared, once I got into sport climbing, constantly feared this like great fall, you know? And it would keep me from doing, you know, to pushing myself out there. And so he would get up on that wall and he'd be like, all right, you gotta fall. It's free fall Thursdays. And I'd be sitting up there motionless for a good 5 minutes. And he'd just be like, ready whenever you are. And it was, I dreaded Thursdays. They were the worst possible day. But I never once didn't show up on a Thursday.
Because because, you know, you have that feeling, that core feeling inside that you said, that says, you know what, you got to face your fear.
Yeah.
You know, they're
you gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
Otherwise,
you
know? It's gonna constantly be this fear.
You know, that's so funny that you said that about climbing because, you know, when I took that ice climbing class, you know, we were above tree line.
Yeah, and you had to.
And we anchored in.
Yeah.
We had to self. Well, yeah. we were with two other people, me and two other people, and we anchored in into ice. Okay, and we drilled into our anchors in ice. And we had with our crampons, and we had to lean back vertical.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a point where everything in your brain says, this is not logical.
Yeah. Why would I let go of
it's
a wall?
Just not logical
to
lean
30
back
feet.
Vertical.
Why?
On an ice cliff.
What's the point?
What's the point? You know?
But.
And then you do it slowly because your taskmaster of a drill sergeant who's teaching the class is looking at you and you have either a look of he's proud or look as this is going to be a long weekend, you loser. And so he's looking at you and as you start leaning back, you can hear the climbing rope stretch. And you lean back, you're vertical. You know, completely, well, you're vertical and then you go completely horizontal. So you are even on the rope. You're completely leaning back.
But guess what?
And
nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
And that's
and you
the
learn
thing.
To trust the rope.
Exactly. And that's what Free Fall Thursdays taught me is that first couple times I kind of did slam into the wall. But eventually I learned to let go quicker. Sometimes I decided to climb down, but I also learned how to safely, you know, hit the wall with my feet at the right angle, bending the knee, this and that. So therefore, it took the fear of falling out. I'm not going to slam into the wall because now I'm educated on what to do when I fall. And of course, once my heart is back, you know, in its proper location, outside of my esophagus, you know, you're educated, you learn, and then you have control. You have control of your situation. It removes the fear.
And that's what trust the trail is all about. It's that you get to the point where you have done it so many times that it is nothing for you to go out there solo. It is nothing for you to go out and have a gear failure. It is nothing for you to go out and help another backpacker. It is nothing for you to go out there and do what you love to do and connect with nature. It that's what trusting the trail is all about, is that you know it's going to be okay. Like, trust the rope, trust the fall. And there's nothing better than going out with somebody who, you know, when you look at them and you're like, I don't know. And then your instructor looks at you and they go, it's going to be okay. Just do it. And so now it's like, it becomes like, okay, I'm trusting the trail, I'm trusting the rope, but I'm trusting that person who is smiling at me, you know, telling me, just let go. You're going to be okay.
It's the safety fall that you do. Yeah. The trust fall is what they call it.
Right, the trust fall.
Which leads us into our fifth tip. Create a support network, because you're never going to be achieving these goals just by yourself. You're always going to find an excuse. So find a support network. Find people you trust. Find people hold you accountable to setting, you know, achieving these goals, like working towards these goals, because that is going to be the biggest aspect. And then tip number six, don't worry about what other things while you guys are achieving your small little tasks and you know, chipping away at this goal. Because if you care what others think when you're doing these, like Scott, you know, this manly man in a sea of women and men. Oh, he's just belly crawling to the edge.
I do not care. I will belly crawl.
But it's gotten him somewhere. And I think you have to accept your space, your mental frame of mind, your inability/ability, and it's all background noise. It's all background, you know, this facade of background. It doesn't matter. It's you in your moment working towards a goal.
Well, yeah, because it's for you. The thing is that people don't understand your own goals or your own, you know, your own dreams, your own goals, your you know, people that want to accomplish bigger things, right? You always have people that will be, oh, well, why would you want to do that? Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, are you sure you want to do that? Or, man, I remember like one time a friend of mine went out into the woods and, you know, they were butchered. You know, you don't want to listen to those people because their facts are wrong. They don't know. I call it contempt prior to investigation. And it's for those people that have an opinion on something that have never done it. And so they're going to tell you what they think or what they heard or what they saw on a Facebook post, and they're going to tell you not to do it. And that's when you need, when you hear them, that's a sign, by the way, that you for sure have to go out there and do it. When other people say, oh yeah, man, I saw that video. That's when you know that there are negative forces out there in the universe that don't want you to go out and push yourself and face your fear. You know, if I believed every single video clip of the bungee cord breaking or the person, whatever that instant is, I would never, ever climb up a fire. You know, climbing up a fire tower, it's difficult for me. You know, I can't even tell you how many fire towers I've climbed. I do it because I'm not going to let that beat me. I'm not going to let that win. We have taken people out backpacking before who did not share their fears, who did not let us know that they were afraid of simple heights or simple climbing rock or whatever. And, you know, it was difficult for them. We saw one of our clients who we took out to the Grand Canyon one time, who had a real genuine fear of the route that we were doing. And yes, there was some hand over foot climbing. Yes, there was, we had a kind of help them down with a rope. Yes, there it was a little, the terrain was rough. But nothing that wasn't hard enough for an average person to do. And we saw that person lock up and have a real fear issue. And it's a genuine issue. It's very, very genuine. But he did it. And you know what he did it? He did it because he, one of the guys that was hiking with them, they kind of formed a partnership. And the other guy recognized it, as we all did, but he kind of like was, hey, look, let me help you. Or, hey, you know what? It's not that bad. Just do this. Let me show you how to do it. And there was that bond that built between him and his hiking partner that, you know, we couldn't mimic. It was just that bond that he had.
It was really fascinating to watch.
And he did it. And he faced every single fear of heights, fear of climbing, fear of
forging a river,
and the Tappets Creek that weekend was really going. Yeah. And so, but he did it. And, you know, there's no amount of money that you can put on self-accomplishment or facing a fear that you're like, I did it.
I was just going to say self-esteem and gratification is so personal, and it's just so deeply important in life, and it's important to keep you going back for more and to keep you challenging yourself in different ways, whatever those ways are. And I mean, the opposite of fear is truth, and it's firmly believing in your ability, reliability, and the strength of something
bigger than yourself. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's just not factual sometimes. So thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Really super appreciate it. If you enjoy the podcast, please go to iTunes and give it a review. It really helps get our podcast out there. Plus, we always like to hear how we're doing and how we can do better. Our podcasts are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, and now on Radio Public, available on both iOS and Android. And remember, you can support Trust the Trail on our Patreon page, patreon.com/trustthetrail, where we put exclusive content out for patrons. And we have a shout out to Shirley.
Shirley Nutt.
Thank you so much. One of our patrons.
Absolutely.
This whole podcast, you inspired us.
Thank you, other Patreons, Jerry Bertelson and Rock Hornick. Thank you so much for becoming Patreons and supporting all the efforts that we have.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. In the meantime, get out there and trust the trail.
Bye, you guys.